Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God. This is episode 7, The Plagues, and we all remember that with the story of Abram, we saw him hear from God, a really unknown deity to him, living in a land of people that worshiped other things, other idols, other gods, and so forth. And he believed what God said, and he trusted God, and God, again, counted it as righteousness to Abram. And the question is, once the Israelites were in Egypt and they were being oppressed, they may not all trust God. And this particular lesson is all about, can God be trusted? Again, they didn't have scripture really of any kind, let alone the full Bible that we have today. They didn't know. They didn't have a story. They didn't have a history with God, really. In fact, as far as most of these people were concerned, God had been quiet for 400 years since the time of Joseph. And so God really, God is going to prove himself. God is going to show something here. And so we see that the oppression and slavery of the Hebrew people has begun. The Pharaoh doesn't like them, doesn't trust them, thinks they're a scourge. Oppresses them, enslaves them, starts making them do things like build cities and make brick and things of that sort. And in their slavery and oppression, the people of Israel cried out for help. And what's really important here is Exodus chapter 2, verse 25, where it says, "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." Listen to those things that God did. God hears, remembers, sees, and knows. And those four things he's now going to translate over. And now the children of Israel are going to start to see and know as well who their God is. Can God be trusted? Yes, he can. He is strong enough to keep his promises. So here we have Moses along with Aaron, and they have gone in and they have started speaking to Pharaoh. And God told them ahead of time, Pharaoh's not going to say yes. God is a righteous God. He's going to judge them first, and he's going to make his presence known and felt in Egypt. And so he gives them a handful of plagues, and they're not pleasant. So starting out with Moses and Aaron go in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, "Nuh-uh, I'm not letting you people go anywhere." He starts to punish the slaves, the people of the Hebrews, the people of Israel, because of what Moses and Aaron are asking for. So here what we have is plague number one starts out, and that is the water from the Nile River gets turned into blood. And this is one of the three things, the three miracles that God told Moses about at the burning bush. The first one being the staff turning into a snake. The second one was putting his hand inside of his cloak and it coming out with leprosy on it, which was a dreaded disease and very much feared. The third one is pour out some water and it'll turn to blood. Well, in this case, Aaron goes out with a staff and actually turns the entire Nile River, not just the river, but all the pools and canals as well. And they turn into blood. And so now you have a river full of stinky fish. And one thing that you'll notice in the plagues is God is not only attacking the Egyptians, he's attacking what they worship. The Egyptians worship no fewer than three different deities in that Nile River. And so here God is not only saying, listen, I'm punishing you, but I'm also taking away everything that you are putting your faith in. Your deities cannot compete with me. And so Pharaoh doesn't listen. Plague two rolls around. Frogs. You'll notice when these go through, it's kind of vertical in geography. It starts out with the Nile, and then it comes up, frogs coming up out of the Nile. So these rivers and canals and pools that were blood a week earlier, now a week later, Moses and Aaron, through God's direction, start frogs jumping up out of all over the place. And this had to be very aggravating. Everywhere you look and walk, and there was nowhere the frogs weren't. They were in the bedrooms, they were in the beds, they were in the mixing bowls, they were everywhere. It was kind of a little aggravating. The Egyptians actually had a goddess with a frog head, and so that particular goddess was now sort of being attacked by God. All the frogs they didn't go away. When the plague ended, they died. And again, you have this whole stinky mess of death and decay around, just like with the fish in the last one. Plague three rolls around. Aaron takes the same staff and he smacks the ground. He had smacked the Nile earlier before. Now he waves his hand out over the waters. And now the dust of the ground becomes swarms of gnats. And that's nasty. Imagine these little bugs in your eyes and your food and your drink that you're consuming. This is definitely a problem. It's annoying. It is not life-threatening or anything, but it's aggravating. But Moses and Aaron are doing these things, and Pharaoh keeps having his magicians mimic what Moses and Aaron are doing. But in this particular case, all of a sudden, the magicians can't really do this particular miracle, and they told Pharaoh this is the finger of God. But you got to understand, Pharaoh thinks he's a god, and so he's going to try to compete. He doesn't want to admit that he has been defeated by God. Plague four rolls around, swarms of flies. This one's a little bit of a twist because Moses doesn't give Pharaoh a chance to respond this time. He just says, hey, here's what we're going to do. Aaron doesn't seem to be involved in this particular plague. And in this place, God shows a distinction because the flies do not affect the region by the name of Goshen where the Israelites are living. So all the Egyptians get the plague. The Hebrews don't get the plague. And so God is, again, making this distinction. There was the frog-headed goddess earlier, and there's now this fly-headed God who supposedly governed over creation and the sun. We have this situation. Pharaoh says, you can go, just don't go far. Then he changes his mind. He's going to keep changing his mind. Now all of a sudden things start getting a little serious. Moses and Aaron now bring about plague five, and this is going to be death of livestock. There's going to start being significant economic loss. There's these half animal deities the Egyptians have. This one, the cow headed deity is love and protection. Well, all of a sudden, there's not a whole lot of love going on, and there is no more protection. Plague six, boils, painful. This is touching the people themselves. They toss ash into the air and it becomes a fine dust. And out of this comes this boils, and it's disturbing, it's disgusting. And even the magicians themselves can't stand in Pharaoh's presence. They can't do their job anymore. Plague seven, pestilence. There's rain, thunder, fire, and hail. All of a sudden, things are getting damaged. Again, economic destruction. And if you were unfortunate enough to be out in the fields when this happened, you found yourself getting crushed. Trees and plants were broken. All of a sudden, things that they needed for food and for clothing and everything are being destroyed. Plague eight, locusts. These suckers eat everything. This is economic destruction, it's judgment, but it's continuing to challenge what the Egyptians believe they can still trust in. Now they've lost their primary food source. They are in distress. This kind of harkens back to Joseph, where Joseph actually protected Egypt and their food source because God allowed it to happen, and they did not respond well to the Hebrews. And so now the Egyptians are being punished in sort of like kind. Then the ninth plague was a darkness that was so thick it could be felt. Now God levels his attack on the most powerful of Egyptian deities, which is Ra, their sun god. He doesn't provide warning. He doesn't provide explanation. For 3 days, it's just pitch black darkness and nobody can go anywhere. Again, Goshen, the land of the Israelites, is spared. So God has leveled his gun, so to speak, at Pharaoh and all of the deities the Egyptians they worship. And so, if it helps memorize them, just think about it coming from the ground all the way up to the sun, down in the river all the way up. And something fun to think about. If God had plagues today, what sort of modern plagues do you think they'd see? We will get into the last of it next week. Thanks for listening.